that the enemy tried to shut down in my life while I was growing up. So he tried to cut off any way of me expressing myself. Thanks, Tom. So it was a very long process of learning how to, that it was okay for me to express myself and how to do it, and to do it without tears sometimes, and that it's okay with tears sometimes. So just a simple definition of communication is the means of connection. Okay, so for all you visual types like me, if you have a box of matches and you can't connect the match to the striker, then you're not going to have fire. If you can connect, then you're going to have fire. So just kind of a simple way to put it. There's tons and tons of ways that communication happens, so I'm not going to get off on that bunny trail because I'll be in trouble. But the important part is that we're going to focus on today is that we connect. Okay. And in Mark 3:14, which we're not going to go there, but I'm just going to briefly say that when Jesus first called his disciples, the first thing that he said that he wanted to do, he wanted them to be with him. So that's our first point of connection, and it's really our first communication. Many of you guys know my testimony a little bit, but I grew up in church but never knew that God was real. And so I was one of those lost coins in the church. My parents took me, but I never knew. Okay, you want to know me, you want to connect with me, you want to communicate with me, you want to live in me. So that was, you know, a major revelation for me. So the Lord knew that once there was a connection, everything would bloom from there. And then it was interesting, I was looking at, well, what's the opposite of connect is disconnect. And that means sever, detach, separate, shut off, and stop the supply. That'd probably be a good description of me at times in my life. Has anyone ever had a disconnect? Communication is vital to any healthy relationship, like Pastor Perry said, and it's not a one-time event, and it might not feel fun sometimes, you might not feel like it, but it's worth it, because I'm really convinced that nothing else shuts down the gates of the enemy more than clear, honest communication. That's my belief. And it feels good when you can communicate that way in a healthy, you know, way. Sometimes it might start out looking too great. You know, you might start out with it looking really scary. But if you keep working on it, by the time you get to the end of it, you've cleared the things out that need to be cleared out. The ticks have all fell off, and you're free. So my very first prophetic word that I ever got here, gosh, what, 13 years ago? I think Jim Novotny was involved in that prophetic word. And that word was that I could hear for everyone else but myself, that I could believe for everyone else but myself. See, here I go. And that was just a battle of fleshly soul. And I thought, it's kind of hard if you can't hear for yourself. But if you don't think it's okay to express, it's kind of a tugging and pulling both ways. So I could see Christ in everybody else, but I couldn't see Christ in me, the hope of glory. So he put a measure of his glory in every single one of us. Every single one. There's no one excluded from that, period. And we need to find out what that glory is and know how it connects. So we have to know Christ, and then we have to know who Christ is in us. It's kind of like a dual thing. So, Ange has been helping me. I don't know if I got you on the right place. I skipped past it, didn't I, Ange? Well, we're going to go to Colossians 1:27. This is in the Message Bible, and it says, "This mystery has been kept in the dark for a long time, but now it's out in the open. God wanted everyone, not just Jews, to know this rich and glorious secret inside and out, regardless of their background, regardless of their religious standing. The mystery, in a nutshell, is just this. Christ is in you, so therefore, you can look forward to sharing in God's glory." It's that simple. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Everybody say, Christ in me. Okay. So then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 27. This is in the Message Bible, too. And that's okay. Okay, so there we are, starting in verse 12. It says, you can easily enough see how this is kind of long, so bear with me. Don't check out. Don't disconnect. You can easily enough see how this kind of thing works by looking no further than your own body. Your body has many parts, limbs, organs, cells, but no matter how many parts you can name, you're still one body. It's exactly the same with Christ. By means of his one spirit, we all said goodbye to our partial and piecemeal lives. That's great. Makes me think of KFC. sorry. Disconnect. Oh, gosh. We each used to independently call our own shots, but then we entered into a large and integrated life in which he has the final say in everything. This is what we proclaimed in a word and action when we were baptized. Each of us is now a part of his resurrection body, refreshed and sustained at one fountain, his spirit, where we all come to drink. The old labels we once used to identify ourselves, labels like Jew or Greek, slave or free, are no longer useful. We need something larger, more comprehensive. I told you it was long. I want you to think about how all this makes you more significant, not less. A body isn't just a single part blown up into something huge. It's all the different but similar parts arranged and functioning together. If the foot said, I'm not elegant like hand, embellished with rings, I guess I don't belong to this body, would that make it so? If the ear said, I'm not beautiful like eye, limpid and expressive, I don't deserve a place on the head, would you want to remove it from the body? If the body was all eye, how could it hear? If all ear, how could it smell? As it is, we see that God has carefully placed each part of the body right where he wanted it. But I also want you to think about how this keeps your significance from getting blown up into self-importance. For no matter how significant you are, it's only because of what you are a part of. An enormous eye or a gigantic hand wouldn't be a body, but a monster. I love that. I was thinking, can you see Prophet Lois's head on Pastor Perry's body? It's the temple grandin in me, I can't help it. What we have is one body with many parts, each its proper size and its proper place. No part is important on its own. Can you imagine eye telling hand, hey, get lost, I don't need you, or head telling foot, you're fired, your job's been phased out. As a matter of fact, in practice, it works the other way, the lower part, the more basic, and therefore necessary. You can live without an eye, for instance, but not without a stomach. When it's a part of your own body you are connected with, it makes no difference whether the part is visible or clothed, higher or lower. You give it dignity and honor just as it is, without comparisons. Right, ladies? If anything, you have more concern for the lower parts than the higher. If you had to choose, wouldn't you prefer good digestion to full-bodied hair? The way God designed our bodies is a model for our understanding our lives together as a church. Every part dependent on every other part, the parts we mention and the parts we don't, the parts we see and the parts we don't. For example, I wouldn't be standing up here reading this if Angie wasn't helping me, so I would just be kind of like not being able to do what I'm doing. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. If one part flourishes, every other part enters into the exuberance. You are Christ's body. That's who you are. You must never forget this. Here's the kicker. Only as you accept your part of that body does your part mean anything. Okay, so here's what it looks like when our parts are just laying around everywhere. And this is an example of what the bride of Christ shouldn't be. We're just kind of out there, pieces and parts. You know, God wants us to connect in because that's where we're healthy. That's where we can function. We don't have to drag parts around. So, okay. So, to sum it up, we need to be just who we are in Christ. He wants to communicate through us. So I think a lot of people look at the scripture, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and they think of Christ, but they don't think of Christ in you. you know, that he's in us individually, personally. And we could actually have a service and stand here all day just sharing how we've seen Christ's glory through other people in this church family. But, like, for example, has anyone ever experienced Christ in and through Marilyn Dunbar? I can't tell you the times. Regina Feliciano? Art and Karen East? Or Faith Chapman? Or Annette Taylor and Kevin and Caleb? Or Mark Leroy? Yeah. Or Alan Dixie Stover? Or Eric Sharon and Mackay? You know, we could just go on and on and on with that. I love you, Marilyn. I always told Marilyn that someday I know that I'm going to run through the fields of heaven with her, and I'm going to wait for that time. I'm just thankful I got to know her here and still am, but it's just there's never a disconnect in those relationships. So to communicate right, we need to connect to him, connect to each other, and connect to understanding Christ in us, the hope of glory. Then we can let his glory out wherever he wants it, whether it's in here, out there, wherever. And that's pretty much what I have to share. I was going to share awesome announcements, Jeremy, because, you know, there's lots of places here you can connect if you're not sure even what's in you. There's lots of people you can talk to. You know, there's groups that you can just start a connection with, and so lots of opportunity. But we want to see everybody connected and apart because then we all function well. So I don't want to walk around without my toe. Amen.
Thank you, Holly. I'm going to ask our musicians to come on back up. And if we could go ahead and stand, please. And appreciate you giving us a few more moments here. You know, it's one of those things when you talk about communication, sometimes when I'm preparing on Sunday, you just feel this. And even though I've done this before, you feel this struggle. It's like I told Lois, I go, there's just this, I don't feel that rhythm. What's God going to do? And that's because he's got this whole other plan. and it's just that communication of listening to him and knowing what he's doing. Can you be a successful communicator with God? You believe that? Do you believe God wants to talk to you? Yeah, that's very important that you even have faith to believe that God wants to talk to you. And it's just a matter of stopping and listening and taking that time because his words, the Bible says, are words of life. And whenever he speaks to us, there's life in that. And so I encourage you this week to stop. Take time to listen to him. You know, one of the keys of successful listening is for us to stop talking. For us to, and that doesn't mean just verbally. That means in our thoughts and our mind, just stop and say, God, what do you want to say to me? So I'm going to ask our personal ministry team to come on up. These ones are available up here to pray with you about whatever. You might be sensing that God wants to bless somebody else here. You say, you know, I just feel like maybe you're out there and you say, I want to pray. Just go ahead and go ask him. He says, would you go up there with me and let them pray with us together? And you might not even know why. So sometimes it's good to be, it's not sometimes, it's always good to listen to the Holy Spirit and obey him. So, Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you that from the very beginning, God, that you want to communicate with us, Lord. Us who you made out of the dust of the ground and you breathed your breath of life in and made us living. Lord, you want to communicate with us so much that you sent your only Son to die for us, to die for our sins, God, that we may, and the resurrection, God, of your power, God, through him, that we may have a relationship with you, that we can communicate with you, God. Lord, we welcome that deep within each one here, Holy Spirit, that you would show us that great love, that you would help us know that height and the depth and the width of that love. We welcome the power of you, God, in our life this week, that we can be good communicators. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ryan and the group.